My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Peggy Sue Amerson. She's the artistic director of East Wing, a gallery founded in Doha, and she's here to talk about In Transit, which is a photographic show at Blue Sky Gallery on now through December 31st. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Peggy.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the invitation.
So you've come in from Berlin for this show.
I have, yeah. I work remotely for the gallery from Berlin.
And this show, In Transit, is about refugees.
Well, it's about migration into Europe. And the reason we wanted to bring it to Blue Sky is that there's a lot of resonance with what's happening basically all over the world right now, including in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So I guess Europe has been going through this for a few years, boats full of people capsizing, people dying, you know, people living in parks and things in European places. There's a lot of backlash against it. And you think that America is maybe just catching up on that now?
I feel like we've always had it. I grew up in San Diego, which is on the border with Mexico, of course. So there's always been a bit of a, I think there's a lot of ignorance overall in what it means to be a migrant or a refugee. And especially now with issues like climate change and war escalating, lots of crime, people are having to leave their homes, not because they want to, but because they have to. And so the reason we wanted to bring this show, or the reason that I started this exhibition, was because I was hearing about all this migration that was happening in Europe. I was working with a couple of artists who were dealing with it, and I was invited by a gallery in Aarhus in Denmark to make a show with some artists from the Middle East. And they basically gave me carte blanche to make the show about whatever I wanted it to be. And because this was such a strong issue, I personally wanted to know more. So I started talking to the artists and bringing in different artists and thinking about how photography, I mean, in the gallery East Wing, one of the things that we think about a lot, it's a platform for photography. And we're very interested in challenging people on what they think that photography can be and showing them the vast different points of view one can take by using a camera. Everything from video or using a mobile phone to using a large format camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the artists in the show uses Polaroids as kind of sketch to working with large format.
Yeah, and I mean, and also in the show, you'll also see that we talk about how migrants use mobile phones to communicate. And the things that you hear on these recordings are the same things that you would say to your own child or your own child would say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you? Can you bring me a present? I want to dress like my friends. But the dad is in Germany and the child is in Amman in Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Is that surprising, you think, that people are saying normal things?
I think it's important that the audience experience that, that the audience understands that these people are not criminals, that they're just trying to find a better way for their kids. I understand there's great fear about too many people. I mean, unfortunately, there's too many people on the planet. There's not a lot we can do about that at this point. But, you know, what these people want is just a safe place to raise their kids and have a better life.
Mm-hmm. So there are five photographers in this show. Goha Dashti is the one you see as you go in, the big... You know, these are big prints.
Yeah, these are big prints. And this is a body of work that's called Stateless. And Gohar is from Iran. Her past bodies of work are all staged. So it's not, again, as I was saying earlier, the idea when you think about migration or you think about how photographers talk about migration, you would think that it would all be documentary. But this is actually staged. And it's on the island, on an island off the coast of Iran called Keshem. And she went there to talk about what the way that she speaks about migration in her work is to say, what do you do when there's no place left to go and all you have for walls are the rocks around you and the roof is the sky?
The landscape is amazing. It looks like Utah.
Stunning.
It's wind eroded.
It's very rocky.
Cave type things, and there's mesas, that kind of thing. So into this dry harsh landscape. You just have people standing there with their luggage a lot of the time.
Or their belongings. And the main thing is just to show this sort of hopelessness and this, I mean, they have no recourse. They're just left in this place. And she told a very interesting story last night about growing up. She was born near the Iran-Iraq border, and there was quite a lot of war at that time. There was a war going on, and her father refused to leave where they were living because it was his hometown. This is my city. They can't make me leave. But she remembered going to school at one point and her father covering her eyes every time they walked by the hospital. And being a small child, she thought it was a game. So every time they went by the hospital, she'd say, "Daddy, cover my eyes, cover my eyes." So in the show, you see an image of a mother and daughter, and the mother is covering the child's eyes. And she didn't realize the connection until she saw the picture. And then she remembered that this was part of her upbringing as well.
She had forgotten.
She made the connection. She didn't think about it at the time. It was when she saw the image. She was like, "Oh yeah, okay, that's probably why I did that." But
yeah, there's one. Is that the one where there are three suitcases? One of them's orange.
It's the first image as you come, and it's the mother and daughter.
Yeah. There's another one nearby. It's 15 people on a landscape, and they've all got some kind of water container.
Yeah, they're all standing there with water.
Like jerry cans or those, you know, milk carton things. And then in the foreground, there's a blanket. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's probably covering a dead body because it's covering completely.
Well, she said she left that open for interpretation. It could be anything. I mean, one of the images that's not in the show, which you can see on her website, is two men dragging a dead palm tree against this same kind of vast landscape. And there's something about looking at that that makes you think of both desolation in regards to things like climate change, but also what do you take with you? What kind of memories do you take with you that are everyday events? You also see that in one of the other bodies of work with Tanya Habjuka, where there's an image, it's not in the show again, but there's an image of just a tray, and this woman had just a moment to take one thing from her house, and she grabbed the tray. And so the tray becomes this very sacred object for her. Because it's the only thing she has left of her home.
In Gohar Dashti's work, there is a couple who are hugging, and their stuff is kind of gathered around them. There's a fridge, air conditioner, TV, old school TV, cathode ray tube, chair, and water and stuff like that. And this is staged in the sense that these people aren't running anywhere.
No, these are not refugees. They're local peoples, or there's some actors there.
So she said, "Bring some stuff."
Well, they
had. Do you know how they managed it?
They orchestrated it all themselves. Her husband is a filmmaker, so they work together. He assists her and she assists him when they're working. And so they just brought that stuff themselves. She does drawings beforehand to think about
So she begins with an image.
With a sketch, yeah. Kind of like what you said about George's work, where there were those Polaroids. He starts and looks at what he wants, and then he creates the image in his case, he uses a large format camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a completely different
Do you know
thing.
What she uses?
I think she uses a large neg, but I'm not sure if it's a 4x5. I'm not mm-hmm. positive about that.
Because these are big prints, and they are absolutely immaculate. You know, the focus is just on, and these are big landscape pictures, but there are people in the foreground.
Yeah, I would say that three of the artists definitely use larger format. I know that George uses a 4x5.
Mm-hmm. And there is a picture of a woman. She's in this wind-carved sort of gully.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a, you know, Madonna holding the dead Christ. She's holding
it's like a Pietà, yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, again, it's that whole story of, I mean, if you think about the whole story of the Nativity, and they were refugees. So again, it's that idea of showing this. I mean, when you're dealing with a situation where there's war, innocent people are dying, and there are a lot of mothers who lose sons and husbands.
This is a woman holding a young man.
It could be her son,
strong,
but again,
she's holding him up because he's almost like he's floating.
Yeah.
She's in sort of long robes.
She's in an abaya.
Yeah. And but they're placed in this incredibly sort of surreal, you know, curved rock space. Do you know why that one is enclosed, whereas some of the others are wide?
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to that idea that, you know, what do you do when you have nothing? I mean, you lose everything. And the reason she used that landscape was to talk about nature and how nature can support you. You know, how when all you have left is nature to support you. And there's nothing else. You're rejected. You're rejected. You can't find housing. You don't have papers. And, you know, your people are dying. You know, so that's I mean, I can't say exactly what she was thinking, but that's my impression when I look at it.
Another artist, George Audi. So his work is shot in Beirut, Lebanon, but he's shooting Syrians who've left Syria
and
ended up in Beirut.
Yeah, and these are young people. Most of them are young men. He follows them over a period of years. So in some of them, you actually see them start to become adults, which is really fascinating. They're young men who have come there to find work, and they're living in these sort of in-between spaces. So they live under bridges and on private beaches, and a lot of them, there's a few images where you can see he's looking into his neighbor's house, and there's quite a number of them sleeping on the floor. And that's another part of migrating and having no money and no papers. You have to live wherever you can live.
So there are two images of looking down into someone else's apartment. One is a guy, he looks like he's sort of picking at his face. He might be shaving.
He was shaving.
You can't see a razor, but he's looking into a mirror, which is like a tile jammed in the window frame. And then another one is where you can see into an apartment, and there are four or five people sleeping on rugs and on benches and things. There's a lot of work where people are looking down at the ground themselves, or the camera is looking down on people. Do you know, has he talked about that?
His
viewpoint.
George is actually originally from the U.S. He was born in Boston. He has Lebanese back. He's of Lebanese descent. He teaches in Qatar at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and he also runs a residency program in Cairo, and he spends a lot of time in Beirut. He's very interested in portraiture. I mean, he studied painting first, and you really see that in the light that when in his photographs, when he makes a portrait, the light is very painterly. So a lot of those poses would be hearkening back to classical posing of portraiture. In regards to working with these young men, he's really just studying them and their plight of being in between. There's no really other way to put it. They live in in-between places. They have an in-between life. The interesting part of his exhibition, though, is that they, you know, like all these migrants, they continue to move. Once they're given papers, if they're fortunate enough not to be sent back home, they move on. And so they have continued to communicate with him, and they're sending him WhatsApp images using their phones. And some of those images are in the show. The black and whites that were in the frames are actually from his subjects once they've gotten married. One's a picture of him, one of the guys bathing his kid. Another one is them working in a field. A bunch of the guys got a job in a field somewhere, and so they photographed themselves and sent it back to George. So he included that in the body of work, which is called Scale Without Measure. That's the name of this body of work. And we included the Polaroids because I think it's really important for audiences to see that there's a process. It's not like he just whips out a camera and takes a really fast picture. He's working with a very large format camera, you know, anywhere from 4x5 to 8x10. And so it takes a lot of setup. And so he makes these Polaroids first to study the light. And but the really interesting thing about the Polaroids in the show is that you see the young guys getting older over this period of time, because he also has these relationships with him. I mean, I think the one thing that was really important to me in the show in the beginning was that I realized most of the artists have experienced displacement themselves in one way or another. I mean, Gohar through the Iran-Iraq war, although they did stay in their country, she did experience this conflict around her growing up. George leaving the U.S. and going back to where his people are from. Daniel Castro Garcia, who's another artist in the show, his parents are immigrants from Spain to the UK. Steffi Zofia Schultz was born in a placement camp. Her mother came to Germany from Poland. And Tanya Habjuka was born in Amman, grew up in Texas, and then moved back to, she's living in Jerusalem now with her husband and her two kids. So all of these people, including myself, we've lived in different places. And I wouldn't say that we're migrants in the same sense as their subjects, but I think what you see in the artist is there's an understanding of not belonging, not being a part of where they are in this moment, or will they ever feel part of anything?
Mm-hmm. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Peggy Sue Amerson. She's here talking about In Transit, From Home to Where. That's the name of the book of the show, which is on now at Blue Sky Gallery through December the 30th. Stephanie Zofia Schultz she has a remarkable image of a young woman getting her hair ironed with mm-hmm. an iron, not with a curling iron, but mm-hmm. an actual kind of steam iron. So these are sort of intimate portraits. Where are they taken, and what's going on?
It's in southern Germany, this is a housing estate where many of the people living there are from Afghanistan, Romania. They've all come to Germany to try to find a better life again, because oftentimes it could be because of war, or most of these migrants would be suffering backlashes of war. So they had to leave where they are from. She connected with the kids. In the beginning, she was taking pictures of the adults, but she really connected with the young people. They spoke German, because they were learning German, so it was easier for her to communicate with them. But also, Steffi's mother emigrated from Poland to Germany, and Steffi was born in Germany in a camp like this. They're called lagers, which basically is the term for holiday camp, but they're not really holiday camps. So the series is called Duldung, which is translated as toleration. So these are tolerated people. That's basically what it said on there. There's a picture of the passport, and there's a stamp that says Duldung, which means tolerated person. It's sort of like registered alien. Mm-hmm. And so her whole experience was what is it like to feel like a tolerated person? These young people, the camps that they're living in, or the housing estates they're living in, they're only supposed to be there for a period of 1 to 3 years. But many of those young people were born and have only lived in these places for up to 15 years or longer. So it is their home, even though it's not their home.
Are they housing estates?
They're housing estates.
They're not like camps.
No, they're like, but they're referred to as lagers, which is basically translated as camp.
Yeah.
So the housing estates, the one thing that you see in these young people that I really feel in looking at it is the waiting and the boredom, and but then how you try to carry on your life.
One image is two sisters sitting on a bed, and there's like laundry folded up beside them, and one girl's like looking at her phone, it's charging, so she's kind of tethered, and the other girl's like right behind her. And it does look like, you know, it's kind of thing that happens everywhere now. But are you saying we should look at it and see boredom and waiting, or something?
Well, I mean, it's daily life, but then you also see the picture of the boy watching the cartoon SpongeBob, and he looks completely bored. There's another image of the kids sitting outside. They're waiting. I mean, they're waiting to be accepted or not. And I mean, one of the things that last night we had a discussion in the gallery with Gohar and Steffi, and one of the things that Steffi mentioned was that, you know, at any point these people can be sent home. And unless they really push and really get their kids to like, yes, you're going to be educated, you're going to, you know, they can just fade away. And it's that tentative existence, I think, you really feel. But yeah, you also feel the power of these young people. I mean, some of those portraits are just astonishing. of young people who have, like in one portrait, a young girl has some scarring on her face, which is from when she was in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. She told a story last night of one boy. She knew him by one name for a very long time. His family called him this name. Everybody called him this name. And at the end of a period of time, she had a dinner for everybody at her house. And they came, and he came up to her, and he said, okay, I'm going to introduce myself now. And he gave his real name. And he said, actually, we're not from Syria. We were told to tell everyone we're from Syria. We're actually from Armenia, and we had to leave because my family witnessed a murder, and we were going to be killed. So we had to leave, and we were told by people who say, you're from Syria, use this name. And the only person in the family who had their own real name was the youngest child. So, I mean, these are everyday stories for these kids, but the kids are very aware of their situation. And I think you feel that. So there is the waiting, but you also see this, I don't want to say desperation, it's not that, it's pride in their faces.
So if you go to the show, you should go and see this picture of the Easter pig, which is a kid in a top hat and flip-flops shaving a pig with a dead pig with a Bic razor, and the pig has a giant stake through it from mouth to bum. And there's no kind of explanation. It's just like, all right, maybe they're going to have a luau, you know.
Well, they ended up having lager. A big pig roast for the lager. But yeah, it's an amazing image. It's I was really struck when I first saw it. I first met her in Arles in the south of France at a photo festival. And that's how we connected.
Mm-hmm. You do judging then for photo?
I do portfolio contests? Reviews right. For different photo festivals around the world.
So you see everything.
That's a big part of my job. Being a curator, you have to keep your eyes open for what's new, what's coming up. But also, you know, I think it's a huge, being a curator of any sort, you really need to think about gender balance and cultural balance. So it's really important for me to go to different places and see different work and see the work of men and women and people living in different cultures.
Has the phone changed much, do you think, in what you're seeing?
The
telephone, camera?
Well, I mean, some people use mobile phones in their work, but a lot of people are going back to analog now, really. I'm seeing a lot of, I mean, even Gohar starting to work with antique processes, cyanotypes. I'm seeing a lot of people use large format cameras because they can go bigger. Everybody's using digital still, but you're seeing a lot of people who will shoot negs and then analog negs and then scan the analog negs and do digital prints. But it depends. Like in Steffi's work, she started with film and then she switched to digital because she was going in and out so much because she was working with the kids and the kids were going in and out, running around.
In and out of what?
In and out of the houses.
Oh, okay.
So in following that, that meant the lighting was changing all the time and it was much easier to work digitally. So she switched to digital.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Castro Garcia has a sequence here called E Peri Natera, which means feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So this is... this is set in Italy, Sicily, and he's photographing migrants who've come from Africa, people from Senegal, a lot of them. Why do you think he called it Feet on the Ground?
Well, it's another proverb. I mean, it's the same with Tanya Hapjuka. Her series is called Tomorrow There Will Be Apricots. And in both cases, it's sort of like, don't dream too big. You know, be careful of your dreams. And feet on the ground means basically keep your head above your shoulders kind of thing. You know, don't wish for the stars. And so he's been working with these migrants for the last, they're all unaccompanied young boys who have come over on boats and suffered a lot of post-traumatic stress. They've seen a lot of horrible things. And they've come to Sicily and they're given housing there, but otherwise nothing more. No activities, no education. They have a roof over their head and they're fed and that's about it. And he feels very, very passionate about supporting these young boys because he can see the spark in all of them, that they're bright. They have great potential. So what he's done is he started in 2015 and he released a book called Foreigner Migrations into Europe, 2015 to 2016. Then he carried on. He did another body of work, which was kind of like the next chapter. And he created like a newspaper with writings about migration. And now he's been living in Sicily for the last 2 years with his partner, who's also a producer on the project. And together they've been following these boys and trying to help them. And now the center in Sicily is closing. So he's going to work with that. He was the winner of the W. Eugene Smith Award in 2017, which is a huge accolade in the U.S. He's also won the International Photographers Award for British Journal of Photography. He's gotten a number of Magnum grants, which are emergency grants to help photographers cover situations like this.
So he's shooting a lot of portraits, right?
He is shooting a lot of portraits,
yeah. There's one of a guy, Ali, from Senegal. He's just standing there, and he's Fred Perry on a, what is he, on a rock or something?
Standing on the, he's standing on the seaside. Were you talking about the one with the boat in the background?
Oh, there's, yeah. And there's another one where a guy is like praying on a rock.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're carrying on with their traditions as much as they possibly can. And faith is very, very important to them. There's an image of a boy with a rosary. Mm-hmm. And a lot, he was telling me that, well, there's one image of a bunch of boys in white t-shirts, and those boys had just gotten off the boat, and they were handed rosaries by the Italians as they were coming in. And they had to, they were actually Christians, and they had to let go of their rosaries and pretend they were Muslim when they were traveling through the Sahara, because otherwise they could be killed. So.
And then Tanya Hajduka?
Hajduka, yeah. She has a body of work called Tomorrow There Will Be Apricots, which again is about basically Tomorrow There Will Be Apricots means it's probably not going to happen, dream on kind of thing. And so this is the house of the martyred wives in Amman, Jordan. And so these women come to stay there. There is a banner out in front of the house that says the house of the martyred wives. And a lot of the young girls end up having to live inside this house and not go out very much because they're targeted. They know that either they're young girls and their mothers are widows, or they themselves are widows. And so there's a lot of men trying to get the mothers to give the daughters to marry. So you see the story of these girls that are really stuck in this place. But in addition to that, there is an amazing video that Tanya has made called WhatsApp Syria, because at one point she was visiting the girls and one of the kids was pitching a fit, basically, and the mother took her mobile phone and turned it on, and it was the child's father singing a lullaby. And so the way that they communicate is through the mobile phone, which we all know, but these mobile phones become sort of talisman in that it has these messages to each other, these love letters to each other, saying, I miss having coffee with you in the morning, or little kids saying to their dad, please bring me a dress like my friends. Is it pink? It's pink and I want this and that. So for me, that was really important that the audience experienced that and again see that these people want what we want, basically, and the kids are kids. It's a really, really moving short video piece that has the stills of Tanya's images, but you hear these voices. And it's the same in Danny. Danny has an amazing piece with Gucci where he's talking about what it was like to be on the boat. And think he was dying. Actually, he went under to the bottom of the boat because he thought the boat was going to sink. And right then they were saved. And he said, this is crazy. We're in the middle of the ocean. I think it's really important to hear those voices. I mean, Gucci says at one point, I can explain to you what it is to be a migrant or a refugee very easily. Put a cat in a room, take away all the water and food, and leave a window open and see how long the cat stays in the room. The cat may be very comfortable there, maybe where they want to be, but there's no food, there's no water, so they escape.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Peggy Sue Amerson. She was talking about In Transit, which is on now at Blue Sky Gallery through December 30th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO, Peggy.